I told the youth last night I really love speaking to the youth because I could wear like pants and a t-shirt and it kind of felt appropriate, you know, because I got to try to be like the youth. I would love to come back here. Just to throw it out there, I have loved coming and speaking with all of you. It's been a pleasure. So we're going to get right into it. First up, the quiz. Anybody want to guess what the answer is ahead of time? That's it? No. Okay. What is something that Adventist World Radio is doing for our young people? Yes. Youth ambassadorship. Would you like a bag, a hat, or the radio? You're welcome. Yes, I am super excited about our Youth Ambassador Program. I encourage you, find a young person in your church, connect with their parents, have them send me an email, because I want to see our young people get excited about missions. So the very, very first morning, if you were here, I shared my definition of mission. And missions is hearing God's call, partnering with Him to expand His kingdom. It's all about Him. I love the fact that mission has nothing to do with me except for me being a vessel for Him to use. Just because I felt like these statistics bear repeating, 7,000 unreached people groups representing 2 billion people. 1,000 gospel workers, and only 14 out of those 1,000 will serve among the unreached. Out of every $100 given, less than one penny goes to reach the unreached. So I don't know if you realize this. Most of you are donors to Adventist World Radio, and you might not even know it. If you donate to the world budget, Adventist World Radio benefits from that. So that means that part of what you give is going to reach the unreached. So good job. Any money that is donated goes directly to the ministry of Adventist World Radio. I've tried not to talk about money and stuff like that. I'm not here soliciting your donations. But I want you to know, when you donate to Adventist World Radio, the money you donate goes to mission work, not to administration. It doesn't pay for me to come and visit you. It's not paying to help put my children through school. It's going toward mission work. And I think that's very important because there are a lot of ministries, not talk about Adventist ones even, but a lot of ministries out there that really like 30 cents on the dollar goes to mission. So I want you to know that we give all toward the mission. So thank you so much to each and every one of you, because each and every one of you is a partner in this ministry. And so we love sharing these stories because this is your success too. You have decided when you pay your tithe, when you give your offerings, that you want to partner with God to expand His kingdom. So thank you for all being missionaries. We've talked about this a little bit, but we do have our gift catalog every year. I'm actually in the midst of putting together our 2020 gift catalog. But I encourage you, if you haven't taken a look at it, go ahead, take a look at it. We have them out in the back. They're little projects churches, Sabbath schools, individuals can adopt. I love this picture of this man. This man was given a God pod 5 years ago. And this, someone actually was asking if we ever have partnerships with other ministries. Ironically enough, this picture came from ADRA. They had been going around and visiting a bunch of their different areas. They went to the DRC and they found this man, and he was very familiar with Adventists. He'd become an Adventist because he'd been listening to his God pod. So this guy took this photo of him in front of the hut he lives under, which as you can see is not a lot. And this is where he learned the Sabbath truth. So this God pod is different than what a radio looks like. So I kind of wanted to share with you a little bit what the difference is. So the radios, they can pick up our signal from anywhere. A God pod comes with pre-programmed content. So we distribute these like among refugees. You can put them in prisons, just, you know, different things. So they will come with the Bible, an entire evangelistic series, health messages, all in the heart language of the people that we give them to. So if they speak Malagasy, then it would all be in Malagasy. If they're speaking Korean, it's going to be in Korean. So anyways, I loved this picture because it was very unexpected. We just, you know, someone literally writes me on Facebook and says, I took this really great picture. And I'm like, uh-huh, sure you did. And then he sent me the picture. I'm like, yes, you did. And we actually used it on the cover of our last transmissions because everyone in the office loved it so much. So I actually want to share a picture, a short video. This is actually about the Dahalo, which are the people in Madagascar. We talked a little bit about the cow thieves. This is actually a story about a cow thief. And one reason why I'm sharing this with you is Madagascar, they are expanding by leaps and bounds. Many, many are becoming Seventh-day Adventists. One of the hardships is when people become Seventh-day Adventists is they do not have a church. So they're leaving a Lutheran building or a whatever, and then they're like meeting under trees. And people see that as a less than religion because of it. So one way that we are wanting to partner with them is we are actually going to start, and we're going to try to work with some different entities, to start building churches for the people in Madagascar. So in our upcoming gift catalog, one of our projects will be to help start building churches. They'll be very simple structures like you saw in Barbie's church, where it's basically just the steel beams, a roof. That's really pretty much adequate for them. It feels like a church to these people. So this is actually one of the areas that the churches will be built in. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Plus, you'll get to learn more about the Dahalo. With my narration.
Found nowhere else in the world. From its towering baobab trees in the desert to the dense rainforest jungles, this is a land of wonder. Come with me as I discover how AWR is reaching into the most dangerous part of this country. I'm in Madagascar, and this is AWR 360.
There are three things they hate: cars, military, and well-dressed people. They kill when they see these things.
They are taught from a young age how to steal cows. When they get older, all they do is drink alcohol and steal and kill.
They are called Dahalo, which means bandits in the Malagasy language.
Who are these Dahalo, and what do cow thieves have to do with AWR? I'm on a journey to find out.
With Ray Allen, one of our vice presidents. As we travel, I have learned that nearly one-third of this country is locally referred to as red zones. This amounts to an area the size of South Dakota, where the government exerts little or no control and where banditry thrives. Stricken by poverty, the majority of the population of Madagascar live on less than $1 a day.
Deprivation drives theft, and the stealing of cows, and illegal exploitation of natural resources is the pulse of the culture in these areas. This makes them extremely dangerous and difficult for the outside world to reach.
A Seventh-day Adventist couple named Andrea and Rashua are bravely working to share the gospel in these remote and dangerous areas. Both are nurses, and through their medical treatment of all people, including the Dahalo, they have influence in a region that many others do not.
One Sabbath we traveled to a distant village and were surprised to find a group of people worshiping together and praising God. We had never seen this before and started to ask questions.
Andrew and Rashua found out that many years ago, the group leader discovered an AWR broadcast.
Can you imagine just rolling up one day on a Sabbath and finding this whole group of people? They'd never seen a pastor, never been to a church, and here they are keeping the Sabbath and created their own church environment. It's a very incredible story. I now get to share a fun story as well, just to show how God works incredible miracles. This young couple fell in love. We all love love stories, don't we? She was a Seventh-day Adventist and he was not. And she fought with the idea of becoming, you know, getting married because what if, you know, but he said, you can be a Seventh-day Adventist as long as you want. Doesn't bother me. Just, you know, keep going to your church. You know, I love you just the way you are. Aw. So they got married. And after his convincing words and stuff like that, she, you know, they got married and she started going to church, and one day he came to her and says, you can't go to church anymore. You have to come to church with me. And she didn't really love that idea, so she went to church the next Sabbath, and she came home, and he beat her. And this continued, that every time she'd go to church, he would beat her, to the point where the church members feared for her life, and they actually told her, do not come. God understands it is not worth losing your life, you know, to come to church, you know, worship at home. So one night she was sleeping and she just had this incredible dream. And in this dream, she dreamed of a green radio. A green radio. And she woke up and she didn't know why she dreamed. They didn't even own a radio. And went back to sleep. She woke up again, and she had had the same dream about this little green radio. And she couldn't understand why this happened, and all night long, this just kept repeating. She'd go to sleep, she'd dream about a green radio, she'd wake up. When she woke up, all she could think about was a little green radio. So a couple days later, her husband waltzes in the house all super excited and says, look what I got family. And he puts on the table, guess what? A little green radio. And he is so excited. So he starts to tune it. And all of a sudden they get a station and it's, lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. And he recognizes that. And he is not a happy camper. So he just turns that knob as quickly as he can and lands on another station, lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Did this 5 times. And every place, now here's the thing, we don't have that many stations in that area. But every place that he was tuning in, it was that radio. And he just threw it aside angrily and he didn't want anything to do with it, but he let her keep it. So every day as she was working around the house, she would tune in to Adventist World Radio. Unbeknownst to her, as she was sitting here doing her housework, he was sitting around the corner with his Bible, and he was ready. He was going to prove every single one of these things false and prove to his wife once and for all that she should not be a Seventh-day Adventist. So as he sat there and listened, comparing line upon line, he came to the conclusion that she was right. And so one day he called her in, he summoned her, and she was very nervous. You know, she had been summoned to her husband. It was a very, not like a, hey, come here. It was like a, you need to come here at this time and whatever. She was not really, you know, excited. She was a little bit fearful in her heart. And he said, wife, you can go to church this Sabbath, and I will be coming with you. And he told her how God had reached his heart. This husband has now been baptized. She is a deaconess in her church. And they are now sharing the good news with others that they know. It's an incredible story because it shows that God is faithful. I love the fact that he works sometimes through our dreams. You know, he gave her a sign like the hope was coming, so that when that radio came, I think she knew that this was an answer to prayer. You know, and then the radio kept turning, and it only goes to one station. Even though we only have one station, it doesn't matter what frequency you try, it's going to somehow only be Adventist World Radio. God, once again moving, he is relentless in pursuing those that he loves. We talked a lot about cell phone evangelism one day this week, and I had not been able to share this story, and so I wanted to be able to share it with you. And the reason why is because I think that sometimes we use our, like, issues that we have, maybe physical limitations we have, our age, gender, whatever, as limitations for the gospel. So this is a very short video, but I wanted to show you something because I think it's important for us to realize that doesn't matter, every person has been called. I also believe in North America that we can do a lot more to help people who have special needs in our communities. Whether it is that they are deaf, we can have deaf ministries. Whether it is people who struggle with mental health issues, I think that is something that we as a church really need to work on. You know, we talk so much about the fact that we're tired of school shootings and tired of this, and we talk about the mental health thing. Yeah, I'm going to be very vulnerable. There is still a stigma in this church. I'm going to help break that. I have severe depression. I've struggled with it every day since I was 22 years old. I cannot take medication because my body rejects medication. I've been on 15 different antidepressants. None of them work because of that. However, I have a God who gives me strength. I have a family who supports me, and I have surrounded myself with people who carry me through these hard times. But you guys, there are people in our communities who do not have these things. Our young people, suicide rate is higher than it has ever been. And I think mental health has a lot to do with it. That is one of the greatest ministries you can give to your community, is to be loving and accepting for people who are struggling. So this woman is actually blind. And you will see how God still chooses to use her to carry out his work. Oh, she's not blind.
In a country steeped with tradition, storytelling and oral learning remain an integral part of the culture. This makes radio an ideal avenue to reach the people.
I think it's
and I'm excited to hear how God is touching lives through the airwaves. I am in Madagascar, and this is AWR 360.
My name is Fidi, and I am blind. My mother was also blind, and we lived together. She passed away recently.
Fidi lives in the hill country of Madagascar, 4 hours from the capital city of Antananarivo. The landscape is bare, except for mud huts and green gardens that dot the dry hills. Despite being blind, Fidi's mother did fine embroidery and crocheting, while Fidi worked in the fields growing vegetables to sell. Fidi was not always blind, and as a child, he loved listening to the radio. He came across an AWR broadcast those many years ago, but it was not interesting to him at that time. When he became blind at the age of 18, this Christian radio program came back to his remembrance, and in the darkness, the words now comforted him.
I especially liked the Bible programs, and also the one with helpful farming tips. I put into practice everything I heard.
Fidi's mother also listened to the AWR broadcast, and together they were convicted by the truths they heard.
We didn't want to keep what we heard on the radio to ourselves, and began sharing with friends and neighbors as well, inviting them to join us in listening to the AWR broadcasts.
Then one special day, a team from the General Conference came and picked up Fidi and his mother. They were brought to a church, and during a gathering to celebrate the work of AWR in Madagascar, this precious mother-son duo were baptized. His mother has sadly passed away, and Fidi now lives alone, but he continues to listen daily to his favorite radio station. His life is simple yet complex for someone that cannot see. Fidi makes his own meals, washes his clothes, and keeps his mud hut tidy. He earns a meager living by helping a neighbor pan for gold in a nearby stream. Recently, Fidi began the process of building a new home, and he made all the bricks himself using a technique he learned on the radio program. Fidi is the only known Adventist within many miles of his home, and he worships alone every Sabbath. But thanks to AWR, he has a church family.
I am blind, but AWR is my light in the darkness. Through it, I can see.
This story reminds me of the verse in Isaiah 42 that says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. Thank you for your support of Adventist World Radio. The Lord is using it to pierce the darkness of this world, bringing light to all people. Together we are making waves from broadcast to baptism. This is AWR 360.
It was a different video than I thought it was going to be, but I'm really glad it was that one because I really, really loved his story. We have another lady who is actually a cell phone evangelist who does it even though she's blind. She uses the auto thing to figure out where her finger is, and she sits there and sends messages to her friends. Even all she can do is hear it, and she just moves her phone finger around her phone until she can send them. But you can see there's such a ministry for these people. And we need to be meeting the needs of our community. And these are people who are living right near us. We have blind, we have deaf, we have so many people who need to hear Jesus. So here's a bonus, everyone. I'm going to get rid of all my stuff today. So how many languages out of the 1,000 do we currently have completed? Way in the back. What? 38. She's right. Do you want a bag or a hat? 38 languages have been completed. I think we have about 10 to 12 more in the process, and by mid-July, we hope to have actually started reaching out to every single union to find people in all of the 1,000 languages. And by August, the hope is that we'll be starting to record in all of these languages. Please pray for this very, very ambitious goal. I'm excited about it, though. Here is another story. Madagascar is going to be kind of a popular place today. You all feel like you are among the baobab trees by the end of today. So I wanted to share the story of Armand and Clarice, just so you can see how the people are being impacted once again by the radio. Today is mostly just sharing stories of how God is working through Adventist World Radio. I love this couple. I love the fact that once he has learned the truth, he goes out and he preaches now to those around him. So the thing is, once we know the truth, we are not supposed to keep it inside. We are supposed to then share it ourselves.
An island nation located off the coast of Africa, this biodiverse land is home to thousands of animal species, rainforests, beautiful beaches, and towering baobabs. Join Ray Allen and myself as we discover how God is using the radio to transform lives. We are in Madagascar, and this is AWR 360.
My name is Armand. My wife Carissa and I live in Antananarivo, Madagascar. Every day for work, I ride my bike from shop to shop selling various products. I enjoy my job.
When this story began, Armand and Clarice were living far away from the city in a remote mountain village. One day, Armand's brother shared that he and their father were daily listening to a very interesting Christian radio broadcast. Later that day, when Armand and Clarice visited the family, they heard the program. Armand was interested, but Clarice was unhappy.
I was a devout Catholic and believed what I'd heard on the radio was speaking wrongly against my church.
But though Clarice did not like the AWR program, her conscience began bothering her, and the only way to quiet it was listening to the very radio program she despised.
Mm-hmm. As Armand daily listened to the radio, he became convinced by the words he heard. Unbeknownst to him, the Lord was working on Clarice's heart as well, and she too was being convicted.
My husband finally came to me and said, "We have to find the church that preaches the truth on the radio." I happily agreed.
We searched and searched, but the only one we heard about was far away, too far to attend.
Then one day, someone told Armand about a church in a nearby village. They went to check it out and found a group meeting on Saturday, just like the radio talked about. Soon, the whole family was attending church every Sabbath morning, and together they were baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Sometime later, Armand and Clarice moved to Antananarivo, and one day Armand happened to meet one of our AWR radio broadcasters. When the broadcaster introduced himself, Armand got all excited. This was the voice he had listened to for over 20 years. The two embraced, and Armand shared that he and Clarice had named one of their sons after him because of the impact his radio program had on their lives.
Some people think an Adventist came to teach us in person. But no, everything we know, we learn it from the radio. We are grateful to God for Adventist World Radio.
Today, Armand is a faithful missionary sharing the good news of Jesus and AWR wherever he goes. He witnesses to his community weekly, preaching and distributing Bible lessons in the open markets of his town. He is known as pastor here, and the vendors are always happy to see him. To Armand's joy, many have requested further Bible studies and are interested in baptism. Together, Armand and Clarice are doing their part to hasten the soon coming of Jesus.
There are many more stories like Armand and Clarice still to be discovered. God is at work in this land, and we're excited to be partnering with him in spreading the Three Angels messages.
And together, we are making waves from broadcast to baptism.
This is AWR 360.
We are so grateful for the work of our producers. That man had been producing a radio show for 20 years. He is still producing. And these people are volunteers. Every day, they come into the studio and give of themselves because they see it as part of their ministry and their way to be able to reach the world for Christ. Can you imagine? Because sometimes you don't always see the work, you know, the results of your work. 20 years later, to get embraced in a hug and to find out that this person became a Seventh-day Adventist because of you, that their entire family did. Our producers are always so encouraged by the stories that they get. These are all from Madagascar, which is one of the primary areas where we are wanting to build churches. As you can see, there is very, very few churches in Madagascar. Yet, we have 22 radio stations that we are pretty much at the point where we have covered the entire island of Madagascar. So we are frequently having groups of people who are coming into the church, but there is not an easy way for them to get to church. So many are just starting home churches, which I have no problem with. I think it's a fantastic idea for them. Excuse me. This is actually another story from Madagascar. But it shows the faithfulness that these people have to finding a church. I would guess some of us don't live super close to maybe our churches. I know at one point, my family and I, we lived 30 minutes from the closest Adventist church. And we, you know, you drive the distance and stuff like that, and we kind of grumble because we have to wake up early to get there on Sabbath. Can you imagine if you had to start walking on Friday so you could get to church on Sabbath? And then you had to walk back home all day Sunday with your children? I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure we'd go to church because I'm not sure I could handle the grumbling that would probably happen after about mile two from me. My children probably too, but they'd probably get a little further than me. But anyways, this is Mama Sisit and her long walk. Aunga, aunga, aunga sana.
Sometimes called the eighth continent of the world, Madagascar is a diverse land ranging from coastal plains, plateaus, and mountains.
We are in Madagascar, and this is AWR 360.
Traveling with Ray Allen, one of AWR's vice presidents, and together we are hearing stories and meeting people whose lives have been transformed by the radio. Today we are in the city of Tomasina to meet a dear couple and hear their story.
My name is Babi Soa, but some people just call me Mama Sisit. I live in Antipavolo, Madagascar, with my husband, who is a retired seaman. I enjoy gardening and tending to my flowers, but most of all, I love spending time with my children and grandchildren.
Mama Sisit is full of life, and I can't help but smile as we sit down as she shares her story in a most animated way. She tells me they were once active members in a Sunday keeping church, but after some problems arose, their family stopped attending. One morning, Mama Sisit's husband turned on the radio. He heard a voice talking about the Sabbath. Confused and intrigued, he continued listening. At the end of the broadcast, the speaker announced that he would be presenting the same message that night.
My husband excitedly found me and asked me to listen to the radio with him that night. We sat together and he took careful notes.
Convicted by the words they heard, Mama Sisit and her husband began searching for a church that kept the Bible Sabbath. They walked to different villages, asking those they met if they knew of a Seventh-day Adventist church. But always the answer was no. Finally, someone suggested they go to Tomasina, saying there might be one in the big city. This was 45 miles from their home, but in desperation, they set out on foot. After days of walking, they found a Seventh-day Adventist church and attended on Saturday for the first time. Mama Sisit and her husband met the pastor, and he told them about a church closer to their village. Though it was closer, this church lay over a mountain range. The journey was very difficult, and it often took them 2 days of walking just to get to church. After making this trip several times, Mama Sisit and her family decided to have church at home instead.
Our neighbors made fun of us having church at home. We didn't know any SDA songs or the proper order of service, but we did our best.
After some time, a Seventh-day Adventist passed through their village. He studied the Bible with them and explained more of our beliefs. This strengthened their faith further, and a longing was placed in Mama Sisit's heart to share what they were learning with others.
I don't have much education and can't read the Bible well, but I was impressed that my talent is prayer. This I can do for others and teach them how to pray.
Mama Sisset has seen God work through her prayers, and miracles have taken place. Several sick people have been healed, and a dying boy restored to health thanks to her fervent prayers. Neighbors and family witnessed these answers to prayers, and soon others joined in their home church services. The numbers have grown over the years, and 3 churches were built to hold all the new members. Mama Sisset and her husband continue to lead out in the work and are excited to see how God is blessing.
We love Adventist World Radio. It has changed our lives.
Imagine walking 2 days over a mountain just to go to church? And what would happen if your life and testimony brought so many souls to Jesus that you had to build 3 churches to hold them all? Or what if miracles happened because of your prayers?
God is working mightily through this couple and others who have dedicated their lives to His service, and He wants to do the same for us. Thank you so much for your support of Adventist World Radio. Truly, great things are happening even in the remotest parts of the earth.
And together, we are making waves from broadcast to baptism.
This is AWR 360.
So I ran the Pittsburgh Half Marathon. Once. I'm going to tell you, I thought I was going to die. I even trained. I trained for 4 months. I did the whole couch to half marathon thing. I went 13.1 miles in rain over the Pittsburgh bridges. I cannot imagine walking 45 miles to get to a church. Or how about mountain climbing? To get to a church. I cannot fathom it. What I love about her, though, is that she knows that she's maybe not the best like reader. She can't read the Bible, but she knows what she can do, and that is prayer. All of us can pray. Prayer ministry is one of the most powerful weapons that we have against the devil. When we pray, God can work in mighty and miraculous ways. I want to share some of the ways that He is working right now, like literally, well, they're probably sleeping. But in India, this picture, if some of you were in the Beckley area, this is our overseas pathway to health type of a thing. So we call it AWR 360 Health. This took place in Chennai for 3 days, and then they went to Kolkata for 2 days and did more of a vision type of a thing there. So our Dr. Lewis, Dr. Leela, and some of our staff went over there, and they actually had some struggles getting in. India, if you are not aware, is actually cracking down on allowing Adventists in. One of our actual vice presidents was pulled aside, and he was told he is not allowed to enter the country again on a tourist visa. If he wants to come back in, he will have to get a business visa because they want to know why on earth somebody wants to come see their country so much. And they found out he works for the General Conference, and that was kind of the end of that. So we actually were very fearful because one of our other staff members had been pulled out of line the last time she had gone out, and they didn't tell her she couldn't come back in, but it was like the impression was it might not be able to get back in. So she flew over there, and we all fervently were praying for her while she was going over there, and she actually texted me while I was here, and she said, I landed in Mumbai, and they had a big smile and just waved me on through. And she's like, that's not how it normally happens in India. But God is watching out for His people as they go over there. So one of the things with our whole 360 health, I mean 360, broadcast to baptism, What we do is we start by broadcasting. So we start broadcasting a lot of health messages specifically, as well as some evangelistic stuff. But preceding our big push in an area, we start broadcasting a lot of health-related things, dealing with what the issues are for that area, which is one reason why we love working with local producers. They know their needs. I don't know their needs. If I got up front, I'd probably be saying stuff that didn't really need to be said as much as what they would know. So then they start advertising our medical clinics. They're completely free to the people. We had over 5,500 people come through the medical clinics in India. It was a very small group of doctors. We actually had a very hard time getting all the visa requirements and all that kind of stuff because, again, India has been kind of a stickler for this. Anyway, so they went over there, and this is the very first night. They were all meeting on the stage. They had a prayer of dedication over them. This here is from our very first day when we opened up, and you can see everyone is getting in line. And over on this far side, people are starting to do their check-in intakes. We had a lot of doctors from around India who came to join us there, which was actually a lot easier than bringing in American doctors over and trying to get all the visa requirements. I think we only had 20 or 30 doctors from America go over there to join them. So we, you know, did the typical things where we did the dentistry, easiest surgeries, dealt with eyes, OBGYN services, just regular checkups for a lot of these people. The eye clinic was the busiest thing. Here in America, the dentistry is actually the number one thing. In India, it was actually the eye clinic. This picture here, you can see a lot of people who have had their eye surgeries done. And in the back, you can actually see the president, Dwayne McKee, Dr. Leela. Sorry, I'm having a squint here. Pastor Kyle Allen, he is one of our vice presidents, and he's actually my immediate boss. And here he is, again, with a bunch of doctors. I'm pretty sure they didn't let him operate. Pretty sure. I would have been scared. But here he is taking pictures with our doctors. So they went in, they did a lot of different surgeries. But one of the most important things that happens at these events is what happens after they go through the checkups. And that is when they are able to meet with different people, and we're able to pray with them, to share God's love with them. And many of them then are in turn invited to an evangelistic series that is going to happen immediately preceding. So we were in Chennai a Wednesday through Friday, and we were in Kolkata then Monday and Tuesday, and all of our meetings took place the next Friday. So we are immediately following up, inviting them to come and learn more about God during this time. So immediately proceeding, and this is not a typical thing that has happened, so we are very excited about this. You can see in this picture here, seven people, actually just after the mega health clinic, they started studying right away, and we've already had seven baptisms following the health clinic portion. We're at the end of our first week of the evangelism. Sorry, I have to sit here and think this through, because this is actually the first time anyone's being able to present about. We can't post anything about this on social media because sadly there are a lot of Adventists even in the country that will turn in other Adventists to get them thrown out of the country. Because you can get money, you can curry favor with the government. So we actually are on lockdown. We can't post anything on social media about us being in India right now because we want to give our people time to get out of India. They actually have already turned in Elder Wilson because they found out that he was coming. So they, you know, flagged his passport. He got through because I've seen pictures of him over there. They flagged one of our other workers, Tim Saxton, and he has been actually informed he is not allowed back in the country again after this visit over there. And he's on a business visa. So, I mean, the hardest visa you can get, he's on it, and they're still not. It's very, very hard. But still, God is working in mighty ways. Elder Kent Sharp, who is actually our vice president of finance, is the white man in the picture. He actually is preaching in hang on, I'm having to go through all the country. Puna. He's preaching in Puna right now. And he, this is an altar call that they had, and all of these people came up for his altar call. This is, I've only gotten pictures from him from the evangelism portion of it, because most of the time they kind of compile them and then they give them to me all at the end. So he actually did, he likes to send me pictures because he knows I love getting pictures. So he sent me this picture through WhatsApp 2 nights ago, and he let me know that he would really encourage your prayers. It has been hard in India, as we assumed it would be, but God is working, and we are very excited about that. We actually have Elder Wilson is speaking, I believe, in Kolkata, and we have all of our radio producers are in Pune. We are doing a radio producer training in the morning, so we brought in a bunch of our Asian producers. We train them on radio stuff in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they practice their talks, and what we are trying to do is teach them how to go from broadcast to baptism. We did this exact same thing in Tanzania recently, and you've heard me talk about Tanzania a couple times. So we did the same thing. I went over there. I was sharing with them how we need, what kind of information we need for our story collection, what kind of stuff that they need to be giving us. And then in the evenings, I would go to their different sites. I averaged about 3 to 4 sites a night. And I'm going to tell you, when you see these pictures of the roads in Africa, that is not an exaggeration. Some of those looked really nice compared to the roads I was on. I felt like I was going to get car sick all the time. There's just dust always being kicked up. I saw very few paved roads in Tanzania while I was there. So while we were in Tanzania, we did the same thing. So we met with our producers, taught them about radio stuff, taught them how to do evangelism, and then we let them do evangelism at the end. And we had about 1,600 people baptized in Arusha, Tanzania from their efforts. It left them totally recharged, reinvigorated, and many have already gone home and started doing it. Out of one station, they started doing it immediately after they got home. They started preaching some kind of evangelistic type sermons. Then they told them that they were going to do an evangelistic series. They followed through. They did the evangelistic series. We gave every single person who came to Arusha a projector so they could go home and they could do the same series. So they went in, they've done it, and they had 17 baptisms from one of their things. They were so excited, and they cannot wait to keep doing this. And if you remember, I talked to you guys a little while ago, about a couple days ago, about the fact that knowing what event you're going to do next helps your evangelism cycle. When you can say to somebody at the end, oh, here, we want to invite you to these follow-up events that we're having. That is what we are teaching people to do. You need to know the full circle, the whole 360 degrees. Because when we only plan things here and there, you're not going to see as many results. But when we keep them coming, we keep them interested and excited with what's going on, we're able to create those relationships. So, for the hat. If you were here yesterday, you will know the answer to this one. You ready? Where are we going next year for our big TMI evangelism push? What? Papua New Guinea. Good job. She was on it. Are you going? Give me back my hat. No, I'm just joking. That's okay. Even if you can't go to Papua New Guinea, good news, you can hold evangelism in your neighborhood. We will let you. And you have to wear the hat one day and send a picture. I'm going to share one more story, and this is what we like to call our full circle. This here, this man represents AWR 360, from broadcast to baptism. This man you see pictured has been an invalid. He could not move his legs, and he made his family's life miserable, just utterly miserable, because he had no purpose in his life. He felt like he couldn't do anything. He was discouraged. So they started listening to the radio, and they listened to Adventist World Radio. And as he was listening to these health messages, him and his family started getting really convicted about the different things that they had been learning. Sorry. Then they found out that there was going to be a health clinic. And their family had medical needs, so they decided to go and stand in line. They, some friends brought him in. They carried him so that he would be able to come stand in line or sit in line and receive help. So as he was at the Palawan Medical Clinic 2.5 years ago, this man received a wheelchair for the very first time in his life. It opened his eyes to the amazing things that he could do. It started to restore his happiness and his joy. Then they continued listening to the radio through all this, and they started listening to these messages about how to have a happy home, how to have a relationship with Jesus. And they heard the invitation to come to the Palawan for Christ meetings. And their entire family came to those meetings faithfully, night after night. At the end, this man was carried with his wheelchair into to the river where he was baptized, along with his family. And now they serve in their area churches, and they all are very active participants. But he represents why we do what we do. We can't just stop with our broadcast and hope that something happens. Everything has to have a call to action. So we take them and we meet their felt needs, just like Christ did. For most people, health is a huge felt need. So our broadcasters broadcast inspirational messages of hope, of health, and of healing. And then we invite them to come and to be able to have those needs met. And while those needs are met, their hearts are opened just a little bit more to the words of Christ. So then we are able to continue to broadcast to them, and then they come to attend our meetings, and they fall in love with our Savior. And as I have said, when we fall in love with the Jesus of the Bible, the next inevitable step is baptism for these people. They want to be a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we love this man because he represents everything that AWR 360 is about. It is about the broadcast, it is about connecting the dots and leading them to Christ. So, one last time. Mission is hearing God's call, partnering with him to expand his kingdom. What are you going to do? Are you excited to go back to your churches? Are you excited to go and talk to your friends? Are you excited to see what's going to happen in Mountain View Conference in the next year? I know I am. I am excited, and I'm going to be bothering Naomi quite frequently and asking her to give me updates and hear what's going on. Are there any cool stories of how God is working? Not because of anything I said, but because of the Spirit in your heart. Because you need to hear his call. And when we hear his call, we have to act on his call. And the thing is, he doesn't leave us alone. He partners with us. So he doesn't call us and then say, have fun. Go figure that out. He partners with us. His Spirit comes and works with us. And as we do that, we get to expand his kingdom. And I'm going to leave you with this quote that I said my very first morning that I love from Sons and Daughters of God. There are possibilities for work to be done by you for Jesus that you have never dreamed of. I cannot wait to hear what those are. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much that we are able to be together this week. Lord, thank you for the privilege I have of being able to be with these wonderful people here at Mountain View Conference. Lord, thank you for using me. It is humbling to stand before a group of people and to know that you use me. And Lord, it is humbling for each and every person in this room to know that there is a purpose that you have for them, something that they probably can't even fathom. Lord, fulfill your purpose in us. Use us to expand your kingdom. Lord, whether that be in Beckley or Charlestown, Lord, we ask that maybe expand our borders even. If, Lord, you move us to a new location, or maybe you call us to speak in Papua New Guinea, Lord, wherever you take us, let us be ready to hear your voice and to respond to your call, to partner with you, to expand your kingdom. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory. Thank you for what you are doing through humans around this world to reach other humans. Help us to each be willing. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen.